today we're going to be finishing our Family Matters series. So in May, every May, we do a series around family or relationships, around marriage. This year, we decided we're going to do a difficult series, a little bit more difficult around, I guess, family matters that we don't really talk about at church. And so first week, we talked about sex. Is everyone all right with that? Everyone? Right? The first week we talked about God's design for sex, that God gifted man sex for the sake of procreation and recreation. Last week we talked about what it means to keep the marriage bed pure, and the reason for that being that God values marriage. He honors marriage. And then today, if it wasn't going to get even more harder, we're going to be talking about gender and identity. The topic of gender and identity can either be very simple or very complicated, as I found this week. My goal today is this, and as it is every week, is to look at our topic for today, not from my perspective. And I really do say this because I feel actually very underqualified to be speaking around some of these things. But to really show you from a biblical framework, from the eyes of God, from the mouth of God, and to share that with you and hopefully leave you with a few things to think about. So once again, today, if you are offended, if you're online and you're offended, feel free to put it on the chat. Our multimedia team can reach out to you guys. Today, if you're so offended, speak to Pastor James. He's going anyway, so But you know, the reality is that this is a really big issue. This is a really big topic in our society, and I think one of the things that doesn't help the church is that we don't talk about this stuff as much. We don't really address it. And sometimes, you know, when you're hearing like, you know, what the world keeps saying and there's no balance in terms of, we don't understand actually what the biblical framework is, sometimes we can, you know, feel out of balance as well of our understanding. So I'm going to address it. It took me a whole year to get here. But I also want to recognize that for some of us, this is a very theoretical topic. For some of us, it's a very, like, I hear about gender and I hear about identity a lot, but actually doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, it has no personal bearing. But I know for some of us, it does. And for some of us, we know people that it does. So it's actually a personal issue, right? And so I just recognize that that's the range that we're going to sit in today. For some of us, it's like, you know, it's a very theoretical sermon. And for some of us, it's a very personal sermon. And so I want to make sure that that when we approach it, and then even when we talk about it, right, that we approach it with two things. Number one, humility. And secondly, with grace. I'm not a subject, you know, owner on this. And you know, I'm happy to be proven wrong. But remember, I'm only presenting scripture, okay? And my interpretation of it can be whack. I understand that. If you meet me, if you get to know me, that's consistent, right? Okay? But also, I'm not a scientist. So don't expect too much science. The last time I did science, things blew up. So let's start with some definitions, okay? And I think this is going to be really important, okay? Let's start with some definitions and let's frame this a bit. Okay, so let's start with the first word, sex. Everyone take a deep breath. And say, sex. Okay, still getting the giggles. All right, here we go. When we started 2 weeks ago, we said that there's two definitions of sex. Okay, the first one is what we looked at 2 weeks ago around sexual activity, including sexual intercourse. But there's a second definition of the word sex, and that's what we're going to look at today, and is the biological makeup of a person. Now, this is dictionary. This is not my definition, right? Sex is the biological makeup of a person, male or female. Now, here's a quote. Scientifically, sex is determined by gametes? If you're Spanish, gametes. Or reproductive cells, okay? So, I don't know how to speak Spanish, joke. This is me. I'm trying to lighten the mood before it gets too serious, right? Now, contrary to what is said in media or what is said in the world, sex is actually binary, right? Sex is actually binary. It's actually to do with your genetics, your genetic makeup. Now, once again, I'm not going to go into it, okay, because I was reading it and I didn't even understand it. So how would I explain that to you, right? So, but it's literally, it's from the point when you are conceived, depending on your chromosomes and X's and Y's and blah, 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 that actually determines whether you're male or female. So it's actually, it's biological. It's biological. You are either born a male or a female. This is your sex. Now, one term, okay, you got to go with me. One term that gets thrown around a lot is this term intersex, right? Intersex is a person whose biological sex is actually ambiguous, or they're born with both male and female parts, right? Now, a lot of people in the media, a lot of people in the world will use this as the example to see it's not just male and female. Actually, there's multiple different, right? But statistically speaking, and I'm a stats guy, right? Statistically speaking, the group of people that we would call intersex, whose biological sex is ambiguous, it accounts for, like, media says it's like 13%, right? And if it was 13%, then you have to take that into account. But the reality is it's 0.018%. So that means that 99.98% of the world are clearly male or female, but less than 0.02% are born intersex or sexually ambiguous. Now, statistically, we call this an outlier. Right? It's an outlier, right? And in medical circles, they call this a deformity in the human body. Now, I don't say deformity in a way of that it's derogatory, right? It's a deformity from what is meant to be, right? So, just like people who are born with six fingers, right? Have you ever heard of that? Right? People that are born with four toes, right? Like The Simpsons. Right, The Simpsons, everyone over the age of 40 got that joke, okay, right? Who are The Simpsons? Right, but it is a deformity of the human body. Now, once again, I'm not saying because it's a deformity that they are aliens or something's wrong or something's, they're not lesser or worse. It's biologically a deformity. So the people that are born intersex are a statistical outlier which doesn't hold ground for significance in number. And this is going to be really important, okay? You got to remember that, right? Okay, that's sex, right? Male or female. It's binary. It's not a spectrum. Now, here's the other key word, gender. Let's define gender. Gender is how our biology is expressed in social and cultural roles, either as a man or a woman or male and female. Gender identity is how we feel in relation to our sex. Now, the oldest example of gender or gender identity is this. Boys wear what? Blue. Girls wear pink. Right? That is... I'm glad someone found that funny. Okay. It's good. It cuts the awkwardness, guys. It's okay, right? Now, what boys ride bikes, girls play with dolls, right? These are gender identities. But if you actually think about, right, where these gender identities come from, and if you think about the history of humanity, gender identities change. Gender identities are always changing through the history and through generations, right? What is now masculine, what is now feminine is very different to 50 years ago, 100 years ago. What is masculine, what is feminine is different in Australia than in China, than in England, than in the States. So whereas sex is biological binary, right? Gender is actually cultural, right? As society changes, the way that gender is expressed also changes as well. For example, female engineers, you know, male nurses, right? Now, in our generation, no one even blinks when you say something like that, right? But you talk about that 50 years ago, that's ridiculous, right? And the thing is this, we need to understand that gender and gender identity and expression is subjective, right? It's subjective. It's not objective. It's subjective, meaning it's different from your perspective and your cultural background, right? You know, just because I cry watching movies doesn't make me a female, right? Or just because my wife watches the footy doesn't make her a male. Right? Can you see now the difference in gender, right? And the difference that gender is in different cultural relevance, okay? Now we're getting into the real tricky stuff, okay? Third definition, transgender. Right? Thank you. It's like I have a parrot in the room. a person who feels that their gender identity is more in alignment with the opposite sex, okay? That's what trans... Okay, once again, that's dictionary. Okay, I didn't make this up. Transgender is a person who feels that their gender identity is more in alignment with the opposite sex. So in layman's terms, a biological male identifies as a female gender, or a biological woman identifies as male gender. That's what transgender is. So, you know, once again, all these terms get thrown around. It's really important for us to know exactly what they mean, right? The last term, gender dysphoria, okay, is defined as the distress caused by a mismatch between a person's gender identity and their sex, okay? Gender dysphoria is a distress, right? So it's a person that is not necessarily transgender, but may have transgender tendencies, but it's the distress that a person feeling what they would say uncomfortable in the sex that they are, because they actually feel more aligned to the other one. No, and transgender is someone that has just accepted it and gone with that. But gender dysphoria is someone, it's the distress of someone who feels that. Right. Now, American Psychiatric Association, this is what they say, considers gender dysphoria to be a mental disorder defined as a marked incongruence between one's experienced and expressed gender and their assigned gender lasting at least 6 months. Right, this is the American Psychiatric Association. Now, once again, when they say a mental disorder, the problem is when we hear certain words, we frame them negatively and positively straight away. And so when we hear the word disorder, we go, oh, negative, right? But that's not what they're saying. They're using the word disorder as in the opposite to order, okay? It's a neutral word for them, right? You know, the difference between the sex that they're born with and the gender that they feel with, I guess, and lasting at least 6 months, right? Now, there's research that says, you know, like someone, you know, people go through these confusing, you know, confusions, right? You know, in puberty, you know, whether it was your experience or not, you know, there are times where you do feel like, you know, like that's why you get terms like tomboy or sissy girl, right? Like they're negative terms, right? But this is how it was played out, right? Okay, so I hope you're still here. And, you know, 3 million people online. I hope you're going with me too. Okay, so it's why I wanted to start with that was at least now when we talk about sex and gender, we know exactly what we're talking about. Sex is binary, right? Gender is spectrum. It's cultural. Okay, now, here's the most important part. What does the Bible say? Right? What does the Bible say? Let's go Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. What we see in this one verse is in God's creation story in Genesis 1, God created man and God created the male and female. Right? There's two things that you need to understand in this one simple verse. Number one, God created man. Man did not create man. Man did not turn up and go, you know what, I feel like, you know, a few legs can go here and a few arms can go here. And, you know, it's not like that. God created man. And God defined them male and female in his creation. And so the first thing that we need to understand is if we're going to accept the biblical framework, if we're going to accept the biblical framework, right, of sexuality, of gender and identity, we have to accept the fact that God created man. And because God created man, God gets to create the framework and define. The world does not get to define sexuality, marriage, and gender expression. God gets to do that because God created it. Now, if you don't believe the biblical framework, that's fine. You can reject it. That's completely fine. But if you're going to accept, that God is the creator of the universe, meaning that God is who he says in the scripture, then you have to accept this. That's the line, right? But not just about sex, but gender. Genesis 2, 22, 23. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall now be called woman, for she was taken out of man." God not just created man, right? He created male and female, and that's how he did it. And then he defines not just our sex, but actually our gender. And you'll see throughout Scripture the different gender roles between male and female. Right? Now, once again, never in Scripture is male or female better or worse than each other. They just have different roles. They have different purposes, and that's how God created them. But this is the point. This is why I go, it's either really simple or it's really complicated, right? But here's the really simple version. God created us, therefore God defines us. God created us, and therefore God defines sexuality and gender. God gets to create those frameworks, not the world. Right? Being male or female cannot be changed by human hands. And I was reading so many of these articles. The best humans can do is physically alter. They can physically alter their bodies to seem like the other sex or other gender, but only God can define or change. Romans 9, 20, 21. But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to one who formed it, "Why did you make me like this?" Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes or some for common use? Scripture tells us. How dare humans? How dare we, creation? Remember, we're creation, not creator. We're creation. How dare we look up at the great creator, the one who made us, and go, "Hey, how come you made me like this? Hey, how come, you know, I'm going to live my life," right? How dare we do that? God is creator. God is the creator of the universe. We're just a part of his creation. How ironic, how funny it is, right? When we look back up to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you go, "God, I don't like what you did," right? I'm gonna define the world as it is, right? Now, but you got to understand, right? This is completely against what the world says, right? right? What the Bible says and what the world says, there's no common ground on this. Now, let's not just stop there. Why? Let's ask the question, why? Right? Why? This sermon's going to go a little bit longer. There you go. There's the warning. Okay, number one, two factors on why. I should have said that right at the beginning. Sorry about that. Why is it like this? Why is the biblical framework and why is the worldly framework on gender and identity so different? Number one, sin. With sin, all things pure became tainted and distorted against God's original design. And we talked about this last week. The Apostle Paul actually describes how sin has impacted our world in the world of sexuality and gender. Romans 1, 24 to 28. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. All right, this is the effect of sin. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. This is the effect of sin. Now, sin has affected every area of our life, right? But this passage, the Apostle Paul hones in on our sexuality, our sexual tendencies and gender, right? And it just shows us how broken the effect of sin has been. Now, let me just say, as much as in our world, especially in Sydney, right, being so liberal and progressive, right, we just think that this is normal life. I'm telling you, the world and the world that God created, they're different. They're different. And this is the reason why. Sin has created God's original design to be broken and tainted and become impure in all ways, including our sexuality, gender, and identity. So that's the first reason, sin. Secondly, how do we get here? Postmodernism. Now, postmodernism, that's a big word, I know. Right? Sin's a little word, postmodernism, big word. Postmodernism introduced this idea of subjective truth. I was talking to someone 300 years ago in the developed world. There was no such thing. There was not a world that did not exist without God, a God. Now, right, you look at our census, the number one is no religion. We live in a world where it's possible to exist or think that there is no such thing as God. And one of the reasons is because of postmodernism. Postmodernism introduced the idea of subjective truth, meaning that there is no more absolute truth, right? There is only subjective truth, right? That means that absolute truth is what, right? The sun is hot, right? That's, you know, most of us would have grown up, the sun is yellow, right? Absolute truth, right? No one's really going to question that because that's someone just, you know, that is the way that it is. Now, because of postmodernism and then what's happened after, someone goes, well, the sun is hot. Well, it's only hot to you. Right? It's actually not that hot to me. Right? And you can be like, no, the sun's really hot. Please don't impose your truth on me. Right? Just because it's hot to you doesn't mean that it's hot to me. Right? Absolute truth is now gone. Now there is only subjective truth, meaning if it's true to you, then it's true. If it's true to you, then it's true, right? There is no such thing as absolute truth, meaning that whatever you feel, because that's true to you, well, that's real. That's truth, right? You feel like a man, but you've got woman reproductive organs. Well, it doesn't matter. You're a woman. Because you feel like you're a woman. Sounds like a song, right? Shania Twain? Okay. I'm keeping it light, guys. Go with me, right? You know, you might feel like you're a woman, but you've got a penis. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. All right, people are getting real uncomfortable now, right? But it's okay. You feel like you're a woman? You're a woman. Why? Because experience, how you feel, your emotions are now the highest authority of truth in your life. The highest form of authority in the postmodern world is how you feel. Right? And no longer does absolute truth exist. That's just for you, not for me. And you can't impose that truth on other people. Right? That's the world we live in today. Right? That's sin, postmodernism, and that's how we get to, right? But the problem with the heart is this. The heart is what we call fickle. It's wicked. It's distorted, right? The problem in our own hearts and our emotions is because of our brokenness and our sinfulness, the effect of sin, even for ourselves, our hearts are also sinful and broken. And actually, Scripture says this, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Can I tell you, if you are self-aware and if you are mature enough, you will know your heart is deceitful. You are the biggest liar to yourself, right? I can tell you story on story, right? Oh, man. If I was to follow my heart, right, and that's one of the catchphrases of our generation, isn't it? Follow your heart. I'm telling you, if us all, we really followed our heart, you know where you'd end up, right? Some of us would end up behind bars. I'll just look up. I don't want to jinx anyone. If some of you follow your own heart, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. Right? 100%. I was thinking about it. If I was to follow my own heart, where would I end up? I'd end up in hospital. You know, cardiac arrest. You know, you know, triple bypass every third week. You know, like, you know, follow my heart, follow my gut, you know. Right? Imagine raising your children like this. Right? And this is the problem with this generation of parents. Right? If we were to let our children dictate and determine how they grow up, depending on how they feel, right? They would be eating chocolate and ice cream for every meal. They wouldn't go to school, and they would watch TV and play games all day long, right? Because that's what's on their heart, because they're sinful, evil, deceitful little buggers, right? Like, I had a tough week this week with, I'm not going to tell you which one of my kids, but it was one of them. I nearly went to four this week. I nearly lost one this week, right? Sin, I'm, you know, just confessing my sin to you, right? It was a tough week, right? You know, imagine if they grow up in that kind of subjective postmodern world, right? And then I go to them, hey, you need to eat your vegetables. Don't tell me what to do. You know, vegetables are good for your health. Says who? That's your truth. That's not my truth. Don't impose your truth on me. Right? That's when you know, straight through the window, you know, somewhere. Right? That's when you go 5 to 4. Right? Right? We go, oh, that's crazy, right? As if, yeah, you know, and all the parents would be like, yeah, we would never raise our kids like that. Some of you do. I'm just saying, some of you do. Okay, you let your kid do whatever they want to do, and then you wonder why they're little brats and whatever, right? Anyway, different sermon, next year. Right, here we go. This is the world we live in today, and it's actually sad. Here's the reality. Children, not even adults, children can now go through surgery, gender reassignment surgery, without parental permission. How ridiculous is that? A 10-year-old can now go and get things chopped off or put on, right? Their parents can no longer actually say, they don't have a say in that. You know what the funniest thing is, right? And the problem with this is, right, and you know, the world that we live in now, there's actually so much inconsistency around this. You have to go to school till you're 16. That's law. Right? That's law. They don't have a choice whether they go to school or not at 16. And yet they can go and get surgery, gender reassignment at 10. Oh, it's like, you know, my kids don't even get a choice of what they eat for dinner. And you're telling me that they can go and choose to go get gender reassignment surgery. Don't tell me that our world is a very, very tricky place to live in. Right? You know, there's stories, right? Grown men, and I say man as meaning, you know, the sex, right? Who go into female change rooms to get changed because they're transgender. That's who they are. I'm a female. I identify as a female, right? Right? And if someone actually says something and voices something, excuse me, sir, rah, 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 you are now in the wrong. You are now the bigot. I was going to say race has got nothing to do with it. You're the sexist, right? Like, it's got nothing to do with race, right? Let's don't make it about race, okay? How insane it is the world we live in. But it is. There's so much inconsistency in the way that this is playing out in the world. So much hypocrisy. So much confusion. That's the world we live in. And that is the consequence. That is the consequence of sin. God, in his original creation, created man in his image, male and female. And because God created them, he gets to define them. And yes, there's a lot of noise in our generation and in our society around this topic. And let me tell you, it's not going to get any less quieter. It's just going to grow even more. I genuinely am concerned for the generation that my kids have to grow up in, because there is just so much information and misinformation. There's just too much. How are they going to sift through all that? But the bottom line for us is, once again, it's either really complicated or really simple, right? But we need to be very clear on which lane we're swimming in. If it's for God, the scripture being God's word, well, that's what it is. Now, whatever you feel about it doesn't mean anything, because your heart's deceitful, right? It's not about feelings. It's about truth. And the truth that we have in our hands is scripture. There's nothing else. And so, as said, whether you accept this or reject it, that's up to you, right? I'm just presenting it to you, right? But you just need to be clear. Be very clear on what you're going to accept and what you're going to reject, okay? Be clear on exactly what God is actually saying, okay? Now, let me conclude with three things. And I think these are really important things for us to leave with. This sermon literally has been, it's a year's work of progress, okay? So I really don't take it lightly. But three things that I think we really need to leave with in as we face the reality of our brokenness and of the broken world. Number one is this: God is Lord over all. There has not ever been a day that God was not Lord over all his creation, including the introduction of sin and including how it has played out in the world. Just because our world is chaotic, just because our world is broken, just because you and I are sinful, just because our lives are a mess, does not mean that God is not in control. God is in control. And that's something that's so important for us to continue to remind ourselves. Right? Sin has not just created a broken and fallen world, but it has created a world that has separated creator and creation. And creation has turned to the creator, pointed the finger at God and said, "How dare you? I don't want you to be my God. I reject you. I'm going to rebel against you." And it's not just our generation, and it's not just, you know, the issue of sexuality and gender. Throughout all history, from whenever you can remember, the world has had issues, the world has had brokenness over generation, the issues change. But over every generation and every moment in history, there has not a single day where God went, oh my God, I don't know how to handle this. No, God has always been Lord and always been in control. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is and will always be Lord over our creation. And he says that he will one day return to fully redeem his creation back to its original state. Do you know why that's important? Because as the world around us continues to crumble, continues to disintegrate, we need to understand that there is an end date. And you know what that gives us? It gives us hope. Hope. I look at my kids and I look at their generation. You know, there's an article this morning where they're legally trying to change the age of when you can sign up to social media. At the moment, it's 13. There's a legal change. They want to move it up to 16 because there is now medical research that shows that because of the introduction of social media at such a young age, mental illness, depression, all of these neurological issues, all of these behavior issues are kicking in. And I'm like, oh my God, my kids are stuffed. I was stuffed and I didn't even have a smartphone when I was growing up, right? Let alone these kids. It's like, you know, you would never give a gun. I heard this example. You would never give a gun to a 13-year-old. And yet we're handing over iPhones like candy. And we just don't even know the damage that it's doing, right? So literally this morning, I signed the petition. I signed the petition, right? You know, change.org, right? Legally move it up to 16. I'm all for that. But you know what's sad? I'm like, I look at our world, I go, oh my God, we're so stuffed, we're so stuffed. My kids are like, you're so stuffed, right? You're so sinful, I already know that, right? Like if I don't understand that God is still in control, even in the chaotic times, and that God will come to one day redeem this world, I have no hope. They have no hope. The world has no hope. And yet, because God is still God, and he is still Lord over all, that's my hope. That's what I'm going to hold on to. And that's what we need to hold on to. Okay? Number one, God is Lord over all. Number two, we all sin all the time. We also have temptations. Now, as much as today the issue is gender and identity, and as said, for some of us, this issue, it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. You're like, I don't even know why we're talking about this, right? You may have never struggled with these desires. The reality is we've all struggled with desires. For some people, it's around gender and identity. For some people, it's around pornography. For some people, it's around material possessions. For some people, it's around food and diet, right? We all sin. Right, that's what Scripture tells us. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all. It said for all of us, we've had different feelings and desires that tempt us, and that we're tempted to. And if we're real, a lot of these desires, they're not of what God wants. For some, it's the temptation or the desire around fame, about popularity. For some, it's around power. For some, it's around status. But you know what? For some, it's the desire. For some men, it's the desire to be like a woman. And for some women, it's the desire to be like a man. For some, it's a desire to engage in sexual relations outside of marriage or before marriage. We all have desire. We all have temptation. And that's the point. We all fall to this. The heart is deceitful. It's a liar. And the reality is temptations and heart desires and feelings will always be there. But it's a reminder to not listen to your heart. Don't follow your heart. Don't buy into that. follow your dreams. Mate, it's the bit, I've done a marketing degree. It's all marketing, right? Follow the truth. And if you're struggling with these desires, take them to the source of truth, and that is God. If you are struggling with sin, take them to God. God, He already knows what's going on in your heart, even better than you. And instead of running and hiding from God, and this is what Adam and Eve did when they first sinned, take it to God. The struggle is real, but the choices are real as well. So number one, God is Lord over all. Number two, we all sin all the time. We're all tempted. We all have desire. But number three, love. How do we approach those who are transgender? How do we approach those who are struggling with gender dysmorphia? How do we approach those that are struggling in sin? As Christians, we approach them in the same way that Jesus would, with love and respect. Friends, they are no different to you and I. Just because what they're struggling with is not what you're struggling with, just because their sin is not your sin, does that mean that they're better or worse than you? No. Jesus treated everyone with love and respect. You know, they have their struggles. We have our struggles. They have temptations. We have temptations. They have their sin. We have our sin. We all struggle with different things. So what makes us, how dare we stand on a high horse? How dare we stand from an elevated position, point our fingers at people and go, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, when we ourselves are as sinful as them? Jesus says the greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your heart. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, does God love them? He loves them as much as He loves you. Can God save them from their sin? Did God save you from your sin? He did. When Jesus died on the cross and His blood was literally flowing down His body, there was no difference between who He died for or which sin He died for. We need to remember this when we engage with our neighbors who may be different, who may have different desires, different tendencies, different lifestyles. And you might, you know, it's so easy, right? It's so easy to stand on truth and go, well, that's wrong, well, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. But you got to remember, it's truth in love. There's no love in that. Because at the end of the day, it will be the way we love, not the way we teach, the way we love, that is going to make a difference in someone's life. God is Lord over all. We're all sinful, and we all need to learn to love. If, and I think one of the things for the purpose of this series was, let's get some of these taboo topics on the table. Let's put some language. You know why? Because I reckon in the 11 years that we've been at our church here, I reckon there's a good number of people that have struggled with gender dysphoria. Who knows? We may have had someone that was transgender, but just felt like they couldn't express it, or they couldn't. You know what? We need to be a community that knows how to love. We need to be a community that knows how to show grace. Like, yes, we need to be a community that knows what the truth is. But we need to be a community that is loving. So it all comes down to a simple question. Do you believe God to be true? Do you believe the Bible to be true? Because if you do, then you can stand with both confidence and comfort that no matter what's happening in this world, that my life is in God's hands, that God is in control, and that He will return to redeem me. And until that point, until that moment, my job is to love, is to show grace, because I was shown love and I was shown grace. I pray that after today, that you would confidently be able to stand in that space and stand with the strength and the courage of God to know what truth is, to be able to speak the truth, but in love and in grace to all people. Amen. Let's get a bigger amen. Amen. All right, let's pray.